I love you, you love me, we're a happy family, with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. Won't you say you love me too?
For new and or inexperienced computer users, it's often very difficult to separate the genuine virus warnings from the fearmongers who make up stories to scare the wits out of the uninformed. It's certainly true that information is power, so in this section of Main Menu, we seek to provide you with some information that may help you to sort the rubbish from the genuine. Just about anyone with an email account has received at least one message at some time in their lives warning that if you open a certain message with a given subject line, that your hard disk will be infected. The first fake warning that I'm aware of like this was the infamous Good Times virus, but there have been lots more besides. So here's the deal. You can't get a virus simply by opening a plain text email message. It is impossible. There is still some debate as to whether you can get a virus from an HTML message. The fact that there is some debate still occurring at all means that if it is possible, the risk of getting a virus at this stage from an HTML message is very low. However, if you're the kind of person that doesn't open every email message, particularly if you can tell by the subject line or the sender that you're about to be inflicted with even more spam, then you can minimize your risk of getting any virus from a bit of JavaScript embedded in an HTML message or something like that by turning off the preview pane in your email client. You cannot get a virus from an attachment simply by having the preview pane turned on. The only way you could get a virus from having the preview pane turned on is if there's something embedded in the HTML that gets executed when you preview the message. Attachments have nothing to do with the preview pane. What you do have to watch out for, though, is attachments to incoming email messages. Messages that don't have attachments are generally safe. You can't be infected by opening a document or spreadsheet with one of the viewers that ship with Windows, such as the Microsoft Word or Excel viewer. If you open such a file in one of these viewers and it does contain a virus, there's no ability for that virus, which will be in a macro, to execute because the viewers don't run the macros. Unfortunately, though, if you have a full Office product on your system, such as Microsoft Word or Microsoft Excel, opening an attachment to an email message will result in the full-blown Excel or Word application or whatever being launched, so you've got to be careful in that regard. If you're using a program like Outlook or Outlook Express, it's very important that you save a file to disk before running it. In fact, if you've been keeping up with Windows updates, you've probably downloaded a security update for Microsoft Outlook and Microsoft Outlook Express. This requires certain files that are more prone than others to having a virus to be saved to disk before you can run them. The reason why this is a significant improvement is because most virus scanners, and anyone who doesn't have one of those is playing computer suicide, have a better chance of detecting viruses before you run a file if the attachment is saved to disk first. In the case of programs like Eudora and many other email clients, files are actually saved to disk as they come in a special directory designated for attachments. So in this case, virus checkers are given a better opportunity to check the file out before you run it. So please, if you're an Outlook user of any kind, be it Express, 2098 or whatever, save files to disk before you run them once you receive an attachment. There are a number of good virus safety packages on the market. Buying one is a small investment in keeping your valuable documents and files safe. The two most popular programs are the products from Norton and McAfee. The last review of virus checkers that I saw from CNET indicated that Norton was quite a bit more CPU intensive than McAfee, meaning that Norton may slow down your system more if, in particular, you have a slower system. I personally use the McAfee Clinic, which is a web-based tool that offers full protection, checking your system for viruses in real time, so that if you try and run a file that contains a virus, as long as the McAfee Clinic knows about it, then you'll know about it too before the virus can do any harm. Every morning I'm told via a small pop-up window where the McAfee Clinic has a new file for me to download that updates my virus checker for newly discovered viruses.
Norton Antivirus does an excellent job, however. Whatever package you use, it is important to make sure that you do check for updates regularly. Norton Antivirus has a live update system which can automate the updating of your virus checker. Many people get enthusiastic, download a virus checker, and then don't keep it up to date, which is almost as bad as not having a virus checker at all because the virus scene changes very quickly. You may also want to take a look at some of the free antivirus packages that are out there. One of the most popular ones is Inoculated. That also has a live update type of feature.
A virus checker is absolutely essential, but these programs do have limitations. They are reactive. In other words, they really rely on a virus being discovered and the identifying characteristics of that virus being reported before the software can be updated to recognize it. And this is where it's important to become a bit computer savvy. Never set your security in Excel or Word below normal, for example, setting it to low security. Even normal security will give you some protection against viruses in the sense that you will be asked to run offending macros before they can do any damage. Have in place a good backup strategy. Backing up is one of those things that too often gets put off until another day. You've invested lots of money and time on programs, documents, and getting your computer to behave just the way you want it. Invest a few moments in some insurance and back up.
And don't forget to check the main menu archives, where you can hear a series that Steve Matsura did last year on this whole subject of backing up. Things such as making sure that your registry is backed up so that you have a copy that you can restore in the event of some sort of dreadful crash, and backing up critical data easily and simply.
Also note that the old advice, which incidentally is still being offered by Microsoft, about not running a file attachment from someone you don't know, is woefully inadequate. Of course, you should be suspect of file attachments from people you don't know, but some people were caught out because the I Love You virus and its siblings were sent through address books. Thus, people were getting the I Love You virus from people that they did know.
One virus that's doing the rounds on a lot of the blindness email lists at the moment is even more sophisticated than that. It's not using address books. It's simply looking at unread mail, extracting an address from that mail, and sending it along. So in the case of that virus, you don't even have to be in someone's address book to receive the virus from them. If you do receive a message containing an attached virus, which hopefully you haven't executed, don't therefore assume that the person has sent you the virus deliberately or maliciously. It may be one of these viruses that we've just talked about that either attaches itself to an address book or sends itself through the unread mail flag or any kind of virus that really inflicts itself on other users without the infected person being aware that it's even going on. The first thing to do is to drop the individual an email. That's a public service to the whole internet community, telling them that they have a virus and that they are duty-bound to do something about it as soon as possible because it's causing considerable damage. If you have any doubts about a particular file that you've received as an attachment, of course you can scan it with your virus checker that, of course, you're keeping up to date. Even if it passes the scan, because virus checkers are reactive, it may be that this is something new. You can always just keep the attachment without running it for a while. Drop the sender a message and ask them, did they intend to send you the attachment, particularly if it's someone that you know. It may be that they have not intended to do so and that you are taking appropriate precautions which are preventing you from being infected.
Now, to some extent, you can use a bit of common sense. How likely is it, for example, that if you're a straight man, you're going to get a message from a business associate who is also a straight man saying, I love you? But it's not always that easy. What if you regularly receive jokes from your brother, and all of a sudden you receive this message with an attachment with the subject line, jokes for you? So there are other steps you can take to become even more computer savvy. The most important one is to turn off the ridiculous default behavior in Windows to hide file extensions. This is the only way you'll really be able to tell what kind of file you're dealing with, and it gets rid of a very serious flaw in the default behavior of Windows. One thing that caught many people out is that the I love you virus was called iloveyou.txt.vbs. But because the default behavior for Windows is to hide the file extension, the file appeared to many users as iloveyou.txt. Now, everyone knows that you can't get a virus from a text file, so people felt quite comfortable to run it, not seeing the VBS extension because Windows had hidden it. It is really essential to stop Windows from behaving in this irresponsible way, and then to learn about file extensions and what each of them does.
Let's do that now. I'm going to go into my Windows Explorer using Windows 98. So if you're doing this with a different operating system, it may be slightly different. To get into Windows Explorer, I'm going to hold down the Windows key and press E. If you don't have a Windows key on your keyboard, you can go to the Start menu, choose Programs, and then Windows Explorer. So we're going into Windows Explorer now.
Explorer, in this instance, my computer.
JFW is running, and we're into my computer. Let's press Alt-V to get into the View menu.
Filter submenu.
And we'll press O for Options.
Folder Options Dialog. General Page. Windows.
We're now in a multi-page dialog, and we're in the general page. I'm going to press Control-Tab to move us on to the next
page,
which is the View page.
Folder View,
now
resettle folders button.
I'm pressing Tab.
313 View. Files and folders opened.
We're in a tree view to set the view options, and the first thing we're in is files and folders. This is a tree view, and this files and folders section is open, so I'm going to down arrow to take us through it.
Allow all uppercase names off checkbox not checked. Display the full path and title bar on checkbox checked. 1. Hidden files open.
Now we're into hidden files.
2. Do not show hidden files off radio button not checked. 2. Do not show hidden or system files off radio button not checked.
I'm one of those people that likes to see every file on my hard drive, and that may be important if you're dealing with a virus that sets itself up as a hidden file. So as long as you're not going to go around deleting things willy-nilly that you're not sure what they are, you may want to turn off the hiding of hidden files.
Show all files on radio button checked.
So to do that, you just choose Show All Files.
1. Hide file extensions for known file types off checkbox not checked.
That is the critical one. Hide all extension for known file types. Do make sure that that is unchecked. Otherwise, you will not be able to see the file extensions of known file types, and that will make it a lot more difficult for you to determine what could be a dangerous file. Having made that change, in other words, if it was checked, hopefully you've pressed the space bar to uncheck it, just tab to the OK button and press Enter. You should now, for example, when you see MP3 files or Word files, see the file extension such as .mp3 and .doc. That will allow you to make a more intelligent decision about what files you run if you receive an attachment.
Then be careful if you receive an attachment with a number of crucial extensions, including .exe and .com, which are program files, .bat, which are batch files, and especially at the moment, .vbs or .vbe, which are Visual Script files. It is highly, highly unlikely that the average user will receive a .vbs or .vbe file for legitimate reasons. Oh, and one final thing. Keep this whole thing in perspective and enjoy the power that computers are still bringing to those of us who are blind.
With a great big fun and a kiss from me to you, won't you say you love me?
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
It's time for us to log off for another week. On behalf of all the Main Menu team, I'm Jonathan Mosen saying thanks so much for listening. Join us again next week.